I will tell you God's truth. God's truth about myself. I am the son of some very wealthy people. Sadly, they're all dead now.
So the Great Gatsby. Welcome, old sport.
Oh, don't. Are we really going to start it with that? Because I've been, like, my friend who I went with, who works with me, every time now I go into work, he's just like, hello, old sport. And I'm like, you better shut up.
I cannot say it as great as Leonardo DiCaprio, but goddamn, that man, let me just say this, that man is acting gold, I gotta say. Because every time he said old sport, I said, God, I want to be his butler. And then my buddy was like, isn't that kind of racist? I was like, I know, but still.
I just want to be the person like, thank you, old sport.
He's so good at being so charming and acting, and his acting wise, whatever, that you'd want to be his black slave.
Wow, that sounds kind of messed up, except in the world of Quentin Tarantino, but...
Yeah, well, with Tarantino, I wouldn't want to do it, because I'd be getting called a nigga all the time.
But, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio. All right, well...
Ready for a plot synopsis here? Because I know it's your favorite movie of all year, so...
Oh, yeah.
The Great Gatsby. Let's follow writer Nick Carraway, played by Tobey Maguire, as he leaves the Midwest and comes to New York City in the spring of 1922, an era of loosening morals, glittering jazz, bootleg kings, and skyrocketing stocks. Chasing his own American dream, Nick lands next door to a mysterious party-given billionaire, Jay Gatsby, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and across the bay from his cousin, Daisy, played by Carey Mulligan, worst actress ever, and her philandering, blue-blooded husband, Tom Buchanan, played by Joel Egerton.
Most underrated actor ever.
Yeah, I would agree with you as well, too. Guys, go check out Warrior.
Oh, hell yes.
It is thus that Nick is drawn into the captivating world of the super rich, their illusions, loves, and deceits. As Nick bears witness within and without of the world he inhabits, he pens a tale of impossible love, incorruptible dreams, and high-octane tragedy, and holds a mirror to our own modern times and struggles. Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. Elihu, I don't understand why you just don't love this movie. People, you know, some people... It's got like probably like 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, but some people that I've seen this movie say they fell in love with this movie. They think it's the greatest of all year or whatever, which I don't agree with.
Nope.
But I do see, I think I'm somewhere in the middle of people that hate it and love it.
Yeah, and I would say I'm kind of in the same lane because I got to be honest with you. There's some scenes in this movie that aren't from the book.
Like the scene with Tobey Maguire narrating it?
No. Well, actually, yeah, that whole him being in the insane asylum, that's not the case.
Nice touch, if you ask me. I remember asking someone that I knew read the book. I was like, was that in the book? They was like, no, that wasn't in the book. I was like, well, that was a great touch to it.
Yeah. No, what I'm talking about is the scene, the hotel fight scene between Gatsby and Tom. That's not in the book.
Which was a great scene.
Yeah, it's an amazing scene.
And it was an intense scene, too, like that, whatever. When I was watching it, I was just like, look at the anger and frustration in both of their faces going on. I was like,
it was one of those things where, like, you were watching it, it's like, one of these two is going to snap, and it's not going to end well.
And you can tell it wasn't going to be Joel Egerton, neither.
Because he only lost his cool once, and, we want to run through the plot, and then we'll start getting into all these points.
Yeah, go ahead. Dude, take us through the plot. It's the most important scene by scene, if you will.
All right. Movie opens. We see a very wintry insane asylum where we meet Nick, who's Tobey Maguire's character, who has been institutionalized for severe depression and alcoholism, much like everyone else in the 1920s after
that. I was going to say, yeah.
So he begins.
Like myself from last night.
He begins to explain that he used to live in a little hut on West Egg, which. Everyone was rich in the 20s because nobody gave a shit. That's the best way I can put it. And he got a little cottage in West Egg to become a stockbroker. He wanted to be a writer, but it just never really panned out. So he becomes a stockbroker, and he lives next to this ginormous mansion.
Yeah, this place is huge. I looked at his place and was like, well, that's a nice little place. And then he looks out the door and looks up in the sky, and I was like, oh, never mind.
It's like I was looking at that. I was like, did he get like the helper house? Like
that's what I thought too. Whatever. But the simple fact that he literally has to look up in the sky to look at this house.
And what he sees every day whenever he goes out to look at the house is he sees someone looking at him, which in our time would have been considered creepy, but that then it was just like, ah, whatever, time to go home with my day.
Yeah, and plus, if Leonardo DiCaprio is doing it, you actually smile right back at him, you know?
Right, so...
I wish he was looking at me outside of a window. I'd be like, oh, he looked at me.
So West Egg is considered like the lower end of the class spectrum because on the other side of the lake is East Egg, which is the rich Beverly Hills area of New York. As in,
what did you think of the scene? Sorry to cut you off, but I had to get your opinion. What did you think of the scene where it's almost as if Tobey Maguire was fantasizing seeing someone standing there reaching for that green light?
Oh, that was kind of weird.
You thought that was weird? I don't know. I thought it was beautifully done when I saw that shot or whatever.
The first
20 minutes of the film, I gotta say, it was just like snapshots, real quick and fast-paced, whatever, that I didn't like that style, but I understood what it was for.
See, I guess it's a good time to get into this now. I actually really hated the first half of this film.
Yeah.
Because the first half was like, okay, it's Baz Luhrmann doing Baz Luhrmann. It's all crazy. It's all colorful. There's no story going on. There's some weird fucking decisions that he's doing. I've never seen a bitch get slapped a dubstep.
I know. But how hilarious was that now?
I had to hold myself from laughing because my friends, they were all sitting there seriously, like, watching it. Some angry, some happy, like, oh, this is a good movie. And I'm sitting there trying to keep my chuckle in because that just caught me off guard.
You know, the only thing that kept me still invested is me not reading the book and knowing people that just love the book. So even though I hated that first 20 minutes of the film, I was just still sitting there like, I want to know what this character is for. I want to know. I wanted to know everything now. And I got to say, the movie was... I didn't like that the way it was shot, whatever, the first 20 minutes. But like I said, I understood what it was for. It was a set Tobey Maguire up in this world. It's kind of like a montage, if anything.
Right.
A very slow montage.
Right.
But it really picked up for me when it got to Leonardo DiCaprio meeting Daisy.
And I would say more it was just whenever you met Leonardo DiCaprio is where it picked up for me. Because
that is a good point. Because
like you
gets introduced with fireworks.
I don't know, like, I was like, Baz Luhrmann's gonna introduce this bastard in some crazy way. That you see fireworks, like, trumpets going off, jazz, like, oh, and I was like, yep, called that one.
How fucking great was it? Like, cause it shows a scene where Tobey Maguire, he gets introduced, invited to this party, and he's telling everyone, I got an invitation, and everybody's like, you don't need an invitation, Gatsby doesn't send that out. And as he's walking up the stairs with his head turned around, you see this ring keep showing off. And I was like, I bet that's Gatsby or whatever. And then there was a rumor going around that people were saying, and then Leonardo DiCaprio turns around in slow motion, and fireworks just soar from the sky, and he was like, that'd be me, old sport. And I was like, dun, 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 dun. The greatest entry ever.
Yeah, to set up for people, how this works is that Gatsby throws parties almost every weekend, and everyone in New York comes to them. Doesn't matter if you have an invitation or not. They just come to mooch off the party.
Yeah, he outblew a movie spoiler's New Year's party and a Spill.com party all in one introduction.
There. Right. Like, and
man, this is a great party.
And, you know, as Phenomenal One explained, Tobey Maguire's Nick gets an invite, and everyone's like, you don't need an invite, but that is very peculiar that you got an invite.
Yeah, because people in the house are like, we haven't seen Mr. Gatsby in years.
Right. Everyone has rumors about him like, oh, I heard Mr. Gatsby is a stockbroker. Oh, I heard Mr. Gatsby is a war hero. I heard he's a German spy. I heard he gives dick suckings on the side corner and makes millions off it.
Like, I heard a Phenomenal One sucked his dick one time.
Like, all this crazy stuff. So when you get introduced to Gatsby, it's a thing where everyone's just like, oh, who's that guy? And Nick's just like,
And you know what? I think that's what kept me going with the movie, too. It's just the mystery. And all this talk about Gatsby for the past year and a half, whatever. I just been like, I want to know that. When I heard Nazi spy, I said, I like that. Let's go with that one.
It's not the stockbroker. It's not the war hero. It's he might have been a Nazi spy. Phenomenal one. Like, now let's see where this goes.
All I can think about with Michael Fassbender is Magneto. That's why. I was like, this is awesome. I was like, now, why don't Leighton like the book? But then, you know, like you said, he gets introduced. And from this scene on, he keeps giving Toby, like, or Nick that plays Toby McGuire, or Toby McGuire that plays Nick or whatever, he keeps giving him, like, the eye or whatever. And he's all friendly enough to him and everything. And my whole time, I was just wondering, like, why? And then there's an actress in here. What was her name in the movie?
Jordan.
Jordan, yes.
Yeah. Now, there's an interesting thing I should bring up with Jordan real quick for fans of the book, because in the book, actually, Jordan and Nick have a very, very sexual relationship.
It kind of felt like that in the movie.
Yeah, and they kind of gloss over that in the book.
So you think it goes into heavy detail in the book?
Well, the thing is, Nick and Jordan's relationship actually does play heavily into Daisy and Gatsby's relationship in the book, and they kind of nix that, which, frankly, I was a little upset about, because that was actually some of the best parts of the book, was when Jordan and Nick had their intimate moments.
See, I thought the actress that played Jordan should have been Daisy.
Really?
I'm sorry, but I gotta say this right now. Carey Mulligan, I thought she was fucking horrible in the movie.
Funny you
mentioned. I gotta say, for her character and for her acting or whatever, I didn't enjoy her at all. Every time she's on screen, I just found her annoying.
Here's the thing. Her character was not changed that much from the book until the ending.
Oh, I hear. I know that part or whatever.
That's the thing. I actually thought Mulligan played it how she was supposed to play it. Because the character in the book, yeah, she is annoying, and you don't like her.
Okay, well then, yeah, if that's the point, then she did a great job, then, whatever.
Yeah, and that was the thing. I'm not a fan of her, then. Right, because I was talking about this with my friends who I went to go see with, because all of them had read the book, and one liked it, and two hated it, as you saw, and I won't mention, but...
Oh, I know who.
So, we were discussing it, and that was one of the big things, is that, you know, Daisy... We'll get to it at the end, but there's something they did in this movie that changes from Daisy how they ended her in the book, and that actually does play in the Mulligan's performance in a way, and I actually like what they did in this movie better than what they did in the book.
That is awesome. So, well, basically, it comes to a scene where Gatsby and Jordan, they pretty much have like a little one-on-one time, and she's telling Nick, "Oh, it all makes sense. It makes sense. Gatsby's not gay. He's not flamboyant. I'll tell you over tea. Bye."
Yeah. So and then begins.
Like, okay, this is gonna pick up right here, and it didn't get to the scene to the point where Jordan pretty much explained everything to Nick, or whatever. And I was like, "Oh my god!" So this is when I finally understood the story. So I was like, "So this is a romance story then, pretty much."
Right. So I think there's one thing we also forgot to explain. So Daisy is Nick's cousin. Daisy lives in East Egg with her husband, Tom, played by Joel Edgerton. Now, Tom is a womanizing son of a bitch, horrible husband.
There's a scene where they're having dinner and one of his mistresses call and shit. And I was like, damn, why is everybody looking at him like
this is a normal occurrence?
Yeah.
So... But Tom's one of those guys. He's a guy's guy. Like, he takes Nick. He's like, "Look, we're going to go into town. I'm going to get you laid. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to drink, and it's going to be fun. And we're not going to tell Daisy." We're not going to tell Daisy, right? Yes. Okay. And Tom is this very angry, very controlling guy who has multiple mistresses, including one named Muriel.
He's a that's one. And also, Mr. Joel Edgerton here. He plays a very over-the-top character in this first half of the movie.
But he does it perfectly.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it's... I'm saying, wow, his character fits so well in this
movie. Right. Like, there's a scene early on before the party where Tobey Maguire and Joel Edgerton pretty much have an orgy in a hotel room. And... it's one of the weirdest things you will ever see, because it's a movie set in the 1920s, but yet dubstep and Jay-Z are going on. Classical versions of these things are going on. You see pimp smacks in slow motion. You see glitter flying in the air to Jay-Z in the 1920s. Okay. It makes no sense.
That is one thing I hate about these movies, whatever. You cannot have contemporary music, with fucking period pieces.
I completely agree.
That shit is annoying. I hated that shit in Django, and I hate this shit in this movie or whatever. I was like, because half the time I was going, wow, this is a good song, whatever. And it was some of the older music they were playing, whatever. And then whenever they play like H to the Izzo.
Yeah, no. I actually did want to bring this up at some point. I think the music that they chose, like the contemporary music, is horrible. I think the score, though, is fucking brilliant.
It is. I like the music in here or whatever is about retarded as fuck to greatness.
Right. Like,
and it makes me wonder, because since Jay-Z was an executive producer on the damn film, did he pick some of that goddamn contemporary music?
I don't know, but then I think about Baz Luhrmann's other film, and he does that in every single movie, so I don't think it was him. So
I bet he had an input in putting his damn songs in there, though.
No, I agree with that, but it's just like, I don't know who composed this. I've been trying to figure it out for the last couple of days, because the score is just haunting at times.
Yeah, it was really good. There were some scenes where Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire's character were together, and the music would play in the back. I was like, I love that song. Oh my god, this is like adding so much just to this scene of just nobody speaking dialogue, whatever. But you hear Tobey Maguire narrating in the background, whatever. I was like, this just adds so much depth right here, or whatever. This alone, or that's beautiful on screen, or whatever.
Right? No, I agree. So
the carry on or whatever.
Yes. So we
figure out about, you know, Daisy and Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
They had a thing 5 years ago where they were pretty much going to get married. They were in love with each other, and Gatsby had to go off the war. And when he was off at war, he sent a mysterious letter that broke Daisy's heart, and Daisy instead got married to the very, I don't even know the word to describe it, Tom.
That's the whole thing I was thinking of. How do I describe Joel Egerton's character in this movie? Because when I saw him first come on screen, I said, this is the kind of characters I was looking for in this movie when I first heard about it. I was like, this is what I see, what I see. And I gotta say, the male actors in here, fucking phenomenal. They do a perfect performance in this movie as far as, at least for me. But I thought Joel Egerton, Tobey Maguire, and Leonardo DiCaprio, I was applauding for them. I was just like, this.
I had a problem with Toby.
Did you?
I did, and here's why. This is actually something that one of the people who was angry pointed out to me, but she makes a very excellent point,
mm-hmm.
where the way Tobey Maguire was playing it made it seem like he was gay, and that's not a bad thing, but it's just for the story and what happens in the book and where his character goes with Gatsby and Jordan, I just thought that was maybe the wrong direction to take it. Because it was kind of jarring at times.
I actually would kind of disagree with that, then.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think I saw that point to where he was gay. I mean, I don't remember seeing that at all. Whatever.
Right. It was just like my whole thing was like every time like it would go into the narration, he was like, "Oh, Gatsby."
You gotta understand the time piece, right?
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true. I agree with that.
Back then, everybody was like that.
Yeah. So, continuing on, so pretty much Gatsby asks Nick, could you, you know, set up a little meeting between your cousin and I again, old sport? I do miss her quite much. So, they do. They have a little awkward tea time, and I just love how Nick, like, he's a third wave for a while, and then he's just like, fuck this, you're on your own.
Yeah, I love this whole scene of Leonardo DiCaprio. He's like, should I have the grass mown?
He's nervous as hell, and I love it.
That was like one of the best scenes in the movie, actually, whatever, because this whole time I was just like, and you'll never hear this word come from the phenomenon, but I just thought it was kind of adorable.
Yeah, no, it was one of those things, because in the book, he's like this smooth, suave, kind of emotionless guy.
Yeah.
Who is just known as like the ultimate man in the 1920s. And I love how this movie played Leo as a more humanistic person.
Yeah.
And where he does get nervous. He does get sad. He does get angry. I love how they added that element into it.
God, why is this man ain't getting no Oscar?
Because the Academy hates him.
Okay, you bring up the gay thing or whatever, but you hear how I'm blowing over him right now.
That's true. No, I agree. That's true.
I'm just like, oh, Leo.
Oh, Leo. Why didn't you win for Django?
Leo, I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm afraid to meet this dude. I'm just going to drop to my knees, grab one hand, be like, Leo, my king.
I kiss the dirt you walk on.
He's gonna be speaking all proper. Ugh, get the hell away from me, dude. But I thought this scene, it just, first of all, it was over the top with the whole, he having like his whole guards and everything come and just straighten out Nick's house and make it all like flower looking, and then he's just like pacing back and forth. I was just like, wow, he's supposed to be like this smooth, charming character, like you said. But yet he's a nervous wreck right now.
Yeah, no, and I love how they did that. Is that I'd rather have him be nervous and more human because it makes me relate to him more and care about him more.
Yeah, and when Daisy walks in the house, Nick takes him in there, her in there, and he's not even in there or whatever. He like
he tried to bolt.
Yeah. The whole thing in my head, I was just like, did he run away? Oh my god, he really is in love with this girl or whatever. And he knocks on the door, he comes back, he's soaking wet. And he just like, you know what, fuck it. He races back to that room, whatever.
I can't let the nerves get the best of me, old spot. I'm going to go to get some poo-tang, excuse me.
Damn, you do that well, eh?
I am the white one.
Wow, I feel like flying to your state now to check your... Hey, can you talk to him like that? Whenever I call you now, I want you to talk like that, alright?
Okay, old spot, but...
Wow, I think I'd work for you now.
Oh, how the tables have turned.
See, slavery wouldn't be so bad if God just talked to us like that, you know? All the N-word and stuff, whatever, we don't really like that. Call us old sport and we'll go along with that.
All right.
To harp on this scene even more or whatever, it's even more nerve-wracking, whatever, with Nick just sitting in between the two and they're just like shaking, eyes are rolling around or whatever, looking, because they both don't know what to do. And Nick is like, I think it's time for me to go, whatever. He's like, don't leave us.
And he's just like, dude, me being here isn't helping you. Trust me.
And I love when Nick comes back and those two don't even acknowledge him. They're just glowing in each other's eyes or whatever. I was like, this is a beautiful romance.
Right. So
that's how I took this movie. I don't know if that's how it is in the book or whatever, but it's a romance movie, and
yeah.
I actually liked that angle. Even though I say I didn't care too much about Carey Mulligan's acting or whatever, I thought that her and Leonardo DiCaprio were cute together.
Yeah. Actually, moving on. So, Gatsby and Daisy begin an affair, which goes over. Well, for Gatsby, maybe fucks with his head a little bit, but that's okay.
I gotta say this. I actually like Gatsby's thing. He's like, Daisy is to go home and tell Tom she never loved him because then me and her can start over and be perfect again. I was like, Jesus Christ.
I was just like, when I was listening to that, and he, like, that's how it is in the book. He keeps reiterating that where it's like, like, Daisy loves me. She never loved Tom. And that's why I love it. Then gets to the point where Gatsby's like, she's finally going to tell Tom that she never loved him. And instead in the book where that never happens, they do it in this movie. And Tom's just like, oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
She loved me.
And I love the little scenes he brought up. He was like, you remember Daisy when we did? And it's just the three of them in that room when they were interacting about that or whatever. I was like, this will make a great HBO hour special, like of a debating something or whatever. That was like, I was just like going, I was just like on the edge of my seat, going like, ooh, what's gonna happen next?
I was just in, like, I was sitting there, and, like, I just turned to my friend, I was like, it's gonna get ghetto in 1 minute.
I was, you know what? You can tell when Leonardo DiCaprio was sweating or whatever. It was like that old sport and all that charm about to drop in a minute or whatever when he gets really famous or whatever. But, no, I don't know. Like I gotta say, I agree with you on the first half of this movie. I was not enjoying. I didn't start really getting involved into it until Leonardo DiCaprio's character was introduced, and then once it got to him and the Daisy scene, and then
right.
I figured out what the movie was or whatever. And I
right.
was like, I love this for what it was or whatever. Granted, I still have some problems with it, or whatever. But I mostly all the way up to the end, I enjoyed the film a lot actually.
Okay, so. We'll go through the rest of this, and then I actually want to hear your problems with it. So next, after their whole fight, Daisy and Gatsby leave. So as we mentioned before, Tom has mistress named Muriel, who's married to a mechanic. Muriel gets hit by a car driven by Daisy and Gatsby.
That's supposed to be a twist.
Yeah, you can say that for what it is. But that does happen in the book. So as Tom, Nick, and Jordan are driving back to Tom's house, they find that Muriel's been struck. And Tom tells the crazy mechanical husband that, hey, you know that yellow car that killed your wife? I know who drives it.
Ain't that a bitch?
Like, because he was just like, oh, what am I going to do to get Gatsby out of my life? I can't believe Muriel got hit by a yellow car. Ding dong.
And just Tobey Maguire's reaction to it, whatever, I thought that's where it picked up in his acting for him. In that,
I agree.
It was decent. I thought it was decent throughout the film, whatever. And I was like, I'll go along with him. He's not bothering me or whatever. But I thought when this scene happened, that's when his acting picked up, and you can tell the raw emotion in his face to where he was almost disgusted with the whole situation of Tom and Gatsby or whatever.
Yeah, no, you couldn't tell his lines because, like, at one point he hated Tom for squealing him out. And at the same time, like, Gatsby's like, I'm going to hide the body and everything's going to be okay. And he's like, what? No! Yeah.
But then once he finds out that Daisy was the one driving the car, he's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, so...
He says, you really are a gentleman. He got on one knee and started kissing his...
He was like, what are you doing? Daisy's the one that drove the car. Shit.
You really are a good man then to take the fall for her. You know what I got to say? That ain't nothing truer than love and you taking the fall for some fuck. Because I know had that been me, I'd be like, that bitch did it.
Yep. So Gatsby's like, I think Daisy's going to leave Tom tomorrow and then we're going to leave and get out of here before the police suspect anything.
He's obsessed with her.
I'm gonna get into that, and that's
yeah,
that's
and at this point where the scene where he's talking about she's gonna call me tomorrow, it's almost he's in denial now.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, and that's kind of like it's a tragic element of this story. So
I feel bad for him. I got Leo. Oh, I'm about to cry for you.
So it's a like Leo then explains at night his true story, like everything about him that's truthfully to Nick, and the next morning he's like, I'll call you with the news at the end of the day. That end of the day never comes because when Leo goes for a swim, the crazy mechanic's husband comes and shoots him and then kills himself. Yay.
As he was calling him, though.
No, that's the thing. She didn't call him. She was contemplating it, but she didn't.
The phone was ringing, remember?
That was Nick.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I could have sworn she was on the phone. I could have sworn.
No, that was Nick that called her.
Yeah.
That him. Yeah, that was Nick that called him to make sure he was okay.
And this is the part where it gets into pretty much his death, and Tobey Maguire is down and out right now. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. And this is where he realizes his family, his family, whatever, are rich, snobbish dicks.
Yeah, this is where I'm going to come in because right after Gatsby's death, this is where the bulk of the changes from the book happen. Mm-hmm. And this is really intricate for how I feel. This is really important as to why I feel this way about this movie. So what ends up happening is that Gatsby dies and Nick sets up a funeral for him where nobody shows up.
Yeah.
Nobody who mooched off him, nobody who knew him, no Jordan, no Tom, not even Daisy show up to the funeral.
And Nick is calling
and
Daisy.
Yeah, Nick... Nick is fucking furious about it because he's like, you know, you all loved him, you all knew him, so you couldn't even pay the respect to even come to see this man properly laid to burial.
And plus, Nick was the only one that knew that Daisy was the one driving the car or whatever, so you
right.
know, you could kind of understand where he's coming from.
Right.
With this.
So what happens in the book is that, remember how he called Daisy and Daisy doesn't pick up and instead they leave?
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, Daisy does pick up and explains that she was using Gatsby to get back at Tom for cheating on her.
Yeah, I guess I could see that too, whatever. But you know what? Fuck that book. We're reviewing the movie.
Right. And here's my point. So the book painted Daisy to be an unlikable, unbelievable bitch. The movie makes her far more sympathetic because it leaves her with the viewer doesn't exactly know if she still loves Tom or if she loved Gatsby. It seems like she's in a toss-up still.
I didn't get that at all. I hated that bitch once. just from the Tobey Maguire's reaction or whatever, I once he said that line of her being just that's how it is with the rich snobbish, whatever she became. Oh, was whatever.
Dude, okay. That rant in the book is so fantastic because he does it on the phone and he pretty much tells her at the end to go fuck herself.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. So that's
perfect then.
I think I like the ending to this movie better just because it does it is less brutal than the book is in its ending. Mm-hmm. And there is room to make Daisy still a little sympathetic because it goes back to how Carey Mulligan portrayed her. Carey Mulligan has a look the last time you see her face of she doesn't exactly know where she stands. She doesn't know if she still loves Gatsby or Tom. She looks like she has a face of just kind of confusion.
I was going to agree with you. It looks almost as fear as if she feels if she goes to Gatsby or whatever, she's going to lose Tom and pretty her much kid. Have to deal with the guilt of hitting that woman. So
right. So it does make Daisy a little more sympathetic, and I like that they took that route and left it ambiguous to the audience. Mm-hmm. But I want to. So now that we're done pretty much with the whole story, that's pretty much where the movie ends, people. I want to hear what your problems were with it, because I know we already discussed the music. That's kind of the big glaring problem that everyone sees.
The biggest problem for me is that fucking. I've said it earlier or whatever. I hate music like that in art pieces like this. I can't stand, or period pieces. I can't stand that shit. It is annoying. It takes you out of the movie to the point where you're like, that didn't even fucking fit with this scene or whatever. Like, the music that was, like, with Jay-Z or something like that, it didn't even fit none of the scenes that were going on or whatever. And I was just like, what in the hell is that? But, like, and you know what? Most of that was in the earlier half of the movie, too. I hated the earlier half of the movie, too, and because of that is because it was trying to set up Tobey Maguire in this world, and which I said earlier, it should have just been a montage, actually, whatever.
Right.
Because it looks over the top and more style over substance than anything. And then once we get to the Daisy and Leo scene, it becomes toned down and more about the story and everything. And I'm just like, I don't even think we needed that first half, whatever, because it drug on. It should have been a montage, but simple fact that it drove on for, like, what, 20, 25 minutes, maybe even 30?
And here's the thing. The movie's 2 hours and 15 minutes. You could have easily cut that out.
Exactly.
You could have just made it where that – you're right. That was a montage, and they just cut to the big party, because that's where it picks up for me. You see the big party, and it sets up – this is a lavish party. Glitter's flying at your face in 3D, and they set up Gatsby really well.
And the scene in each scene in the beginning or whatever, like, it almost felt like another director came and took care of this movie, the other half of the movie. Because in the first half of this movie, it's just scene jumping from scene. The cameras are twirling around, whatever, moving. I was just like, well, okay, I'm not liking this style of how it's doing or whatever. I want to know who Gatsby. Come on, let's get that. I think this movie could have cut that out and started the movie off with Nick in the mental institute or wherever he was at with his therapist or whatever. And then could have went on from that to the party.
Right. And you know, I don't like to point out directors, but I do whenever it's a glaring their problem. But, you know, the first half of the movie was Baz Luhrmann being Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, that was him doing Moulin Rouge Part 2.
Yeah, and I even like Moulin Rouge, because I think Moulin Rouge does do some pretty cool things in mm-hmm. terms of style and element. But it's just, for a story like this, that was not what you do.
Yeah, I was going to say, Moulin Rouge is perfect for style over substance, though. I think a movie like this that's focusing on a romance and a love angle, you need to throw that at me right away.
Right.
And now, I thought once it introduced that or whatever, which I'll say again, I've never thought I'd use words like this, but I thought it was adorable and cute, actually. I felt related to these people, even though it was 1920s and stuff.
Right. So, was that your – what other problems did you have?
Pretty much the first half of the movie. I mean, the second half, once it got to the scene where Daisy and Leo meets, which I keep harping on, whatever, I really loved that scene, actually, and enjoyed it. To that, I really had no more problems, whatever. I started understanding characters more. I liked their performances, whatever. Carey Mulligan, like I said, I had my problems with her, but I thought whenever her and Leo was on screen, which was for the rest of the movie, pretty much, whatever, I enjoyed seeing them together, and I believed them as a couple, actually, or whatever. I guess my main problems are that first 25 minutes of the film. I really didn't like that. And like I said earlier, that music plays in the beginning. And I was just like, but the music picks up better. It fits more with the romance angle. I think that Leo, he always does a great performance. I mean, but damn, like I said, he makes me want to be his slave.
Yeah, no, he did a great job. So what's the rating?
What would you give it, Mr. Lehu?
What would I give it? I'm going to go stream it.
Stream it?
Yeah, right. And here's why.
Yeah, break it down.
I think this is a movie that's going to really divide people. I've seen it divide people already.
Yeah, it has.
I think people are either going to love it or you're going to hate it. But that being said, I am interested. I do strongly encourage people to go see it because I'm interested to see how people are going to take it. I'm mm-hmm. like every one of my friends that's asked, I said, you know, I wasn't the biggest fan of it, but I do still encourage you to go see it for a matinee or $5 or something like that because it affects everyone differently.
That's a good point, too. I must say, I went to a public screening when I saw this, right? The theater was crowded. And I was just like, wow, there's a lot of people that's a fan of this book then or whatever. And I heard my friends that go see it yesterday, and they said it was a crowded theater as well. So I was like, there must be a lot of people that know about this book then.
Well, you heard what it made this weekend, right?
Yeah, I heard of it, what it made, and I'm not shocked, actually, or whatever. And actually,
I kind of am.
After reading watching the movie, whatever, it kind of made me want to read the book a little bit. And most of the movies that from last year that had books or whatever made me do that, and I actually enjoyed some of them or whatever. But I'm gonna give it a rent it.
Huh.
I actually enjoyed the second half of the film or whatever. The first 30 minutes of it, I'll fast forward that shit like hell or whatever.
I might even own
the movie by now or whatever, because 4 or 5 months now I might even forget whatever, and I buy the movie and I go like, oh, I forgot about this, whatever. Let me fast forward.
I forgot about this shit.
I enjoyed the ending.
I'd say that's fair. And I think it is one of those things. I think this movie is going to affect a lot of people differently. And, you know, as I was talking to my friends who didn't like it, I said, this is where it's going to get interesting. Now that a lot of people are going to see it, we're going to start seeing that divide. And it's going to be interesting what discussions start from it.
Mm-hmm. So that is The Great Gatsby, old sport.
Thank you. It's time to now get ready for next week with Star Trek.
Enter Darkness, old sport.
Yes, Enter Darkness. Well, let's get ready for Movie Spoilers Episode 3. Good night, old sport.
Good night, old sport.
Can't repeat the past.
Can't repeat the past.